I'm going to talk about the power of contrast today. And we've got to recognize that they don't know the answer. You know what? They don't know. Don't mean to be disrespectful. They don't know the answer to anything. Don't seek financial advice from them. Don't seek, dating advice from them. Don't seek marriage advice from them. Don't seek, I know I'm swimming upstream right now. Listen, I was about to say, don't seek health advice from them. And then I recognized, man, you talk about swimming upstream. You are swimming big time upstream. Listen, you said, Pastor, are you against doctors? You know what I'm against? I'm against a born-again, spirit-filled believer going to any place and relinquishing their authority to someone else. That is just el mucho, el nutty. And don't do it when you're going into a hospital. Don't do it when you're going into a bank. Don't do it when you're going into school. Don't do it when you're coming. Don't ever relinquish your authority, you know what, that God has given you. See, if you want to listen to the doctor, that's fine. But listen to the doctor in correlation to what the Spirit is saying. Don't put the doctor above the Holy Spirit. Don't put the finance, you know what, person ahead of the Holy Spirit. Don't put the finance person ahead of, don't put anything ahead of Jesus Christ. He is the head. And in this kingdom, we need to keep him as the head. Am I preaching to somebody? Is this making sense? And then, not only do we not relinquish our authority, but then what Pastor Isaac started doing, then we start taking our authority. Listen, that's what God told Adam and Eve. Take dominion, that all this is going to be subject to you. So as he was cursing the coronavirus, I thought, who's going to do it? Do we have to wait? Do we have to wait for a lower system? Do we have to wait for the intelligence of man to conquer this? Here's what I say. I say we don't. And thank God. Listen, even the intelligence of man comes from God. All good things come from the Father. Listen, when these, and praise God, be praying for them. Praise God for these researchers that are trying to figure out the answer. You know what? Thank God for them. You know what? Having said that, you know what? We got time to wait for them? And here's the good news. We don't have to wait for them. Amen? I come in agreement with Pastor Isaac. We take authority over this coronavirus. We say, you know what? Be gone in the name of Jesus. And whether it's this heat wave, I don't care. I don't care how you do it, God. It makes no difference to me. But Father, we thank you that there would be that Christians would take their authority. And we thank you. We praise God for Pastor George and your healing power. You know what? You paid the price, so we don't have to. And we thank you that you're raising them up. We thank you that prayer of faith will raise up those from the sick bed. Father, we pray for anyone in our congregation that is sick of any sickness or disease. And we say, you know what? We pray the prayer of faith over them. James says the prayer of faith will raise them up. And if they're sins, they'll be forgiven. So, Father, we thank you for your complete work that was done on the cross for us. We thank you that we're absolutely free in the name of Jesus. In his powerful name we say, amen. Can you say amen to this? Well, what a great time of worship. you know what? If I haven't introduced myself to you, I'm Pastor Drew. It's a pleasure to be in your homes. And maybe you've been coming to this church for a year. Maybe you've been coming to this church for 6 months. Maybe you've been coming to this church for 5 years or 10 years or 20 years. I don't know. But here's what I know. I know that we are so glad that you, whoever you are, turned on, the internet and connected up that we could go ahead and encourage you. I've got an encouraging message. You know what? If you teach the Word of God, it's going to encourage you. Amen. And I'm going to teach the Word of God. It's going to encourage you so much today. But I want to welcome you and introduce myself to you. You know what? Pastor Tamara and myself, we love you. We're so glad that you're listening. We miss you. Man, we miss you. But you know what? We're going to be together soon. I find it kind of ironic. You know what we're doing? You know what we're building right now? We're building a fellowship center. Isn't that great? And I'm telling you what, it looks amazing. They put the fans in, six big, beautiful, big old honking fans. You know what? I'm from the 80s, so that was like an 80s term. But these big fans, they're so beautiful. They put all the pendant lights in. It's looking so gorgeous. They wrap the columns. They're doing a bunch of the electrical. We did on all the underground, but they're now putting all the wires. JR, love you, JR. He's going to be here tomorrow night and do a bunch of the work for the sound. And it's just going to be an amazing spot. But we're developing that right now, and we're just so grateful. Usually now is the time in the service that I encourage you to be faithful in your bringing the tithes and offerings. And Shayla's already kind of talked about that a little bit, the different ways that you can give. But like she said, we don't have a bucket that we can pass to you. All we can do is say, hey, be responsible. You know, it's interesting, like when you're raising up kids, you know what? You're telling them, hey, brush your teeth. Hey, brush your teeth. Hey, brush your teeth. But they get to a certain point in time in their spiritual maturity, and it's a wonderful time when you don't have to tell them to brush their teeth. They do that automatically. They do that because that's what they want to do. They want to do that. They know it's important. And so I hope that we've raised you up. I hope that you're mature enough to take the initiative. And whether you have to drive down here and put it through the mailbox slot, you say, Pastor, but I don't know how to do all that internet stuff. I'm 50, 8 years old or something. I don't know how to do all that. Well, listen, that's all right. You know what? You know where the church is. You can come down to the church. We've got right in front of the big picture mailbox slot. You know what I mean? Boom. You just put it in the mailbox slot. But however you're going to do it, I just say be faithful. I like what Candace, I think she shared on Wednesday or last Sunday, I forget when it was. But she talked about, you know what, her job transitioning into kind of something else, and her job wasn't as secure as it used to be. Well, let me just say this. You know what? Don't ever put your trust. Don't ever put your trust in man. And don't ever withdraw your trust from God. So, you know what? Maybe things are a little unsure. Now is not the time that you would start to withhold. Now is not the time that you would stop funding the kingdom. No, 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 no. We put our trust in God. And so we bring in the tithes and the offerings. You know what? Jackson. We've been set free. We don't want to go back to Egypt. You know what I mean? Don't ever go back to Egypt. Don't ever get on that system again. What's that system? Where you try to figure out your own finances. Don't go back there. You don't want to go back there. God has got a better system for you. that you can rely on him, and it doesn't make any difference if there's a famine or a drought or that. You see, get on his system and allow him to be the one who takes care of you. And who dictates whether you get on his system or not? You do. How do you do that? By being faithful and bringing the tithes and offerings. He obligates himself to those who will put his trust in him. So the Bible says, he obligates himself on those who put their trust in him. Amen. So you know what? You say, oh yeah, Pastor, that word was timely. Because I've been looking at my finances and I've been thinking, where can I cut? Listen, let me tell you where you don't want to cut is in building the kingdom of God. You say, well, you say that because you're a pastor. You can judge me all you want. I'd say that if I wasn't a pastor. Because it doesn't have to do with I'm a pastor. It has to do with a kingdom principle. You know, I like what Paul said. He said, I don't say this for my account. I say this for your account. Listen, I'm saying this for your account. I put my trust in God. You know what I mean? God has got us covered. You know what? The question is, you know what? What are you going to do today? And I trust that you just jump forward. You know what I mean? And part of that jumping forward might even be that you give a gift, not a tithe, but a gift to the Outdoor Project. You know what? It would be a great time to do that. You know what? As you listen to Holy Spirit and just are obedient to what he's asking you to do. Amen? Amen? Well, let's stand up to our feet and sing another song. No, that's normally what I'd say. But you know what? But we're not going to do that today. George, come on up and lead us if you would.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. I just wanted to say, you know what? Thank you, Pastor Isaac, for being so transparent. You know, life will be full of moments. And what differentiates us from, you know, those things are the reactions that we have at that moment. And so Isaac is just a perfect example of, you know, his belief system. And that's where he went first, was to God. Amen. And so thank you, Pastor Isaac. We love you, Pastor George. We miss you. And let's get our Bibles out. And we say it like we mean it. Amen. This is my Bible. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm ready to receive the infallible Word of God. And having received the Word of God, I will do the Word of God. Hallelujah.
God is so good. I was thinking as George was talking, you know, yeah, it's like you think pastors don't have challenges? Mm-mm. We got challenges. And we need to fight those challenges just like we encourage you to fight those challenges. You know what? What overcomes the world? What does the Bible say overcome the world? Come on, mama, sitting there. I taught this to you last week. Come on, daddy. You know what? Come on, Jody. You know the answer, right? The Bible says even our faith, see, our trust in God, that's what's going to overcome it. And Satan is a liar. You know what I mean? What a lying dog he is. You know, trying to put you down and tell you all this. Man, he's a liar. You know, the Bible says, he roams the earth seeking whom he may devour. Let me tell you what, you can just lay down and he'll take everything in your house if you want to give it to him. I don't know who that's for. He'll take everything in your house if you want to give it to him. But if you stand up and say, no, 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 you have no place here. You have no authority here. Now get out in the name of Jesus. No demon in hell is able to stop that. So speak up. You know what I mean? Speak up and say something. I'm full of the Word of God today. I'm full of the Word of God today. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, listen to this part. Sometimes I quote that part all the time. But listen to the second part. And every tongue which rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. Do you get that? No, all this garbage talk, this comment about, you know what? See, that's what Pastor Isaac had to do on the way home from the hospital. See? There was something coming against him, a thought. And he had to stand up and speak up and say, no, Jackson, what a stupid thing for you to say to me. You know what? And what did he need to use? He needed to use the power of the word, the power of praise. You know what? No. I'm going to speak up. I'm going to say something. I'm not going to allow that. You know, it's funny because people will say all kinds of things that are contrary to the word of God. And some people, if I know them well enough, and if I know they should know better, I'll say, hey, don't say that. And I'll say just the opposite. I'll say, no, that's not true. This is what's going to happen. Why? Because I believe that there's power in the tongue. I've been to the mountains. I see the trees. You know what? I've been to the ocean. I see the waves. You know what? I see the moon at night. I see the sun in the sky in the day. And all of that is proof that, you know what? The power is in the tongue. The Bible says everything that was made through the power of God's word. Amen. There are some Christians who mock the power of the tongue. Well, Jackson, you better get, you know what? I don't know what Bible you're reading because... I'm smiling, right? I don't know what Bible you're reading because my Bible says that Jesus, you know what, spoke to the wave, to the waves, spoke to the wind. That's what my Bible says. Spoke to the wind. Read it. The man who said, you don't have to come over to my house. You don't have to lay your hands on my servant, but he understood he did need to do something. Oh, I wish y'all were here. I'd make you say amen. Amen. At home, you say amen to this. He used something. He had to do something. And that centurion understood where the power was. He understood. He doesn't get, listen, if he wanted, he says, I understand authority. Oh my goodness. I understand authority. And so to some certain servant I have, I say, come on, mama. What does he say? Come, and he comes. I say, go, and he goes. What's he waiting for Jesus to do? He's waiting for Jesus to command that his servant be healed. Jesus does that. When he gets home, he figures out, listen, not coincidentally, everything in the word of God that is there for our learning experience. It's there that when he gets home, he figures out, it took him about an hour to get home, he figures that was about an hour. Well, he spent 15 minutes at Derwiener Snitchell, so it took him whatever, you know, you get my point. He figured out how long, and the Bible says it was that hour that his servant said, man, I feel better today. Do you understand what I'm saying? This isn't even part of my sermon, but this is part of my sermon. Because I'm going to talk about separating yourself. My second point in separating yourself is you better start speaking right. Amen. I want to talk to you about the power of contrast today. Man, I better watch it with nobody here. First time I preached with nobody being around, you know what? It was supposed to be like a 45-minute sermon. It was a two-hour sermon. You know what? Mama, get yourself some coffee because I'm preaching today. My gun is loaded, and I'm going to download what I got. So get your gun ready because I'm going to load you up. Amen. All right, I better calm down a little bit. The power of contrast. Can you show the good people at home, the fine people at home, that picture, that one picture that I have? Yeah. Is that amazing? Now, what makes that so, no, go stay there. What makes that so amazing? You know what makes it so amazing? You know what makes the colors so striking in that butterfly is all the black around it. Do you see the black in his wings? That, in contrast with that orange, makes it pop. What makes that beautiful purple so striking? You know what makes it striking? All that greenery around it. See, contrast is awesome. Now go to the second picture. See, if that flower wasn't in the midst of, I don't even know what those are, whippoorwills or something. Huh? Wheat. See, what makes that flower so incredible? Yeah, the contrast. Contrast. I want to talk to you about the power of contrast. Let's let Siri help us. Define contrast.
As a noun, it means the state of being strikingly different from something else in juxtaposition or close association.
Do you catch that?
Would you like to hear the remaining one?
No, I'm good, thank you.
Okay then.
She said, okay then. The striking difference. Somebody say striking difference. Dr. Salico, who most of you weren't blessed to know, he was Dr. Nolte's. Dr. Nolte replaced Dr. Salico, and Dr. Salico said this one time, and it spoke. I never forgot it. It spoke so clearly to me, the problem. In, you know what, our society. He said, if the Christians would act like Christians, then we would be so strikingly different than everyone else that our churches would be packed. Now listen, I'm not here to preach down to you. I really hate that preaching because I don't think it's very, I really think there's no place for that. You know what? I'm like you. I'm working out my salvation with fear and trembling. Having said that, I am a proclaimer of the truth. And I want to say to everyone that's listening, we've got to be strikingly different than everyone else. And I'm going to go over today. We'll see what I go over today because we'll just see how the Holy Spirit leads this. But when I was praying about this and thinking about, you know what, ministering this to you, I thought, why in the world has Pastor George been able to get so many people at his work saved? How is it that those people, before Pastor George was there, they weren't in love with Jesus, and now they are in love with Jesus? How did that happen? You know, am I to think that there weren't any other Christians in that, you know, that arena where he worked? Oh, I think there probably were. And I'm not ripping on you if you work with Pastor George and you're a Christian and you were there before Pastor George. I'm just pointing out the obvious. I'm just encouraging you to be more different than you've ever been to the world, because that's what the world needs. The world needs us. Dr. Salico says this. You know what? The answer to the world is the church. That's plan A. And then I love what he says. He says, you know what plan B is? There is no plan B. We are it. You say, yeah, but I thought Christ was in it. Yes. You know what? Yes, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. So I want to talk to you about this contrast because I believe that now more than ever, we need a church that is a church that is in crazy contrast with the world. Now, am I saying, well, I need to be clear. I need to be clear what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. What I'm saying is you need to act, you need to think differently, you need to speak differently, and you need to act differently. George, say what you're going to say, say it, and then say what you're telling them. This is saying what I'm going to say. You need to act, you need to think, you need to speak, and you need to act differently than everybody else acts. You know what I mean? That's what you need to do. But here's what I am saying. Let me tell you what I'm not saying. What I'm not saying is if somebody says the F word at your work, you're like, and you get all prissy. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. Am I saying that there's not a time to stand up? Absolutely. Like I shared at the 10 o'clock. Guys, if you're not watching at 10 o'clock, make a commitment that every morning at 10 o'clock you are going to watch. Some of you have made that commitment. Every morning you will not start your day without coffee. You know what? Make this your commitment that every day you are going to allow your pastor to open up the word and share together. Because I believe in this pandemic, we're not only called to be closer to God, but we're called to be closer to each other. And specifically, let me tell you specifically, I believe this is from the Lord. And specifically, I believe that in that closeness together, that God is calling parishioners. I hate using that word. family members to become closer to their pastors. And I feel for this church, I'm just saying, specifically to be closer, now is our time for you to draw close to your senior pastor. And I'm calling you to do that. So you make that decision every morning. Make a quality decision right now. That you don't have to make that decision every day because you made a quality decision already. Does that make sense? So I'll see you tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And I'll see you Tuesday at 10 o'clock. And I'll see you Wednesday at 10 o'clock. And I'll see you Thursday at 10 o'clock. Why? Because you made a quality decision. You made a decision. I think Christians ought to have character that they... I like what Paul said. He said, you know, my yeas are yeas and my nays are nays. Man, what a great, you know what, make a quality decision that you are going to draw close to your pastor and allow him to share some insights of the Word of God to you on a Monday through Friday basis and twice on Wednesdays. Amen. What I'm not saying is that you need to be self-righteous to the ungodly. You know what? You know, some plumber comes to your house or some electrician comes to your house and he's having a hard time getting it and he starts to swear. You know what I mean? Let me tell you what. You need to watch your witness to him. And I don't know. I mean, you'd be led by the Spirit. But I don't know correcting his spicy language, I don't know, is the best way to share the love of Christ to him. I'm just saying. Watch this. Having said that, when my friend shared, I shared this with you last week on the 10 o'clock, when my friend Pat Swanson, when we were walking out of Albertsons or Lucky's after we had you know what, when we got off work, and somebody had a Playboy, and they were trying to show it to everyone else. And Pat Swanson, you know what, stood up and said, I don't want to see that. That doesn't honor my Father in heaven. See, I don't think he was being self-righteous. I think there's sometimes you got to put your stake in the ground and say, man, as far as me, I'm serving the Lord. Say, well, what's the difference? You know what? You have the Holy Spirit. You allow the Holy Spirit to tell you. Sometimes just because it's, you know what? I mean, you remember that song, you know what? Some of you older people remember this song. You know what? You know what? I was in the right place, but it must have been the wrong time. See, some of you have the right response, but when the Holy Spirit says, don't say it now, you know what you need to do? It's not the right thing. The Holy Spirit is smarter than you. Praise the Lord. But are you smart enough to recognize his ways are higher than yours? You start getting on his plane that you start, do what Jesus did. Look at Jesus' days. Jesus was so effective in what he did. You know why? Because he said nothing that he didn't hear it from God first. He did nothing that he heard God tell him to do it. Amen. Somebody say the power of contrast. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. No, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I just want to say this because I know this is going to be a two-weeker. So the Holy Spirit saying, just take it slow because you've got some things to teach. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And look at verse 17. We just read this, I think, this week. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Listen, this is what the Lord is saying to us. Oh, did you go to the wrong passage? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. No, it's not wrong. 2 points. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Watch this next part. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Do not touch what is unclean. Do not touch what is unclean. You know what? Don't touch what is unclean. You know, listen, man. It don't make any difference. How short the dress is, how low the top is. You know what? That's not your possession. Don't belong to you. You know what? You don't. It's not. That is unclean. Yeah, but I didn't touch it. Yeah, yeah, you did. In your heart, you did. Hey, God is spiritual. He knows. He's not looking at the outside. God doesn't look outside appearance. He looks at the inside. You know what I mean? No, that's unclean. That's not yours for consumption. That's somebody else's wife. That's somebody else's daughter. That's somebody else's. That's God's daughter. That could be somebody else's wife, and if it's not somebody else's wife now, she's going to be somebody else's wife. You know what? And you're married. You have a wife. You know what? Go home and check her out. You know, praise God to the glory of God. You know what? All you want. Amen. Amen. That's what the Bible says. But you, whatever is that which is unclean, you know, there's portions of your money that God says, no, that's mine. Don't touch that. Don't touch it. You know, we've been talking about it over and over again. Because why? Because it's part of our Bible reading. You know what I mean? I would, you know what, when I cashed my check, I would take God's portion out, and I would put it in another slot. Why? Because that wasn't mine to touch. I didn't touch it. You know, oh, but I see a cool angel hat. You know what I mean? Cool angel jersey. You know what I mean? You know what? It's exactly. I can't touch that. Why? Because it's not mine to touch. No, you know what? You know, hey, buy it with your own money. Amen. And not that it's not all God's, because it is all God's. But you know what? But you've got to figure out what Paul writes. Hey, man, come up, get a plan and execute your plan. Because you know what your plan is? Your plan is you spend everything on yourself, and then I come to get the gift that you promised you're going to give, and you're like, man, I don't know what it is, man. I don't got no money. You know what I'm doing? Man, I'm plumb out broke. Well, yeah, you got a nice angel jersey you're wearing. Amen. Don't shout me down. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. So there are things that it's, listen, we're not, listen, what are you doing? You are becoming a contrast to everyone else. See, everyone else, you know what, is not only spending, watch this, not only spends everything on themselves, but they spend all their money and money they don't even, haven't even earned yet. Oh, yeah, don't chop me down when I'm preaching good. What's that called? It's called credit cards. Now you're not only spending, now you not only spent everything you had, you spent money that you didn't have. And you become, we'll look at it later, the Bible says, you become slave to that which you give yourself to. God doesn't want you a slave. He wants you free. He wants you free to be able to give with a happy, hilarious heart. He wants you free to be able to come home and look your wife in the eye and say, man, you are not only a hot mama, you're my hot mama. Amen. See, that's what he wants. But in order to do that, in order to separate yourself, watch, this is a huge area. If you'll separate yourself and making a decision that you're going to be pure as unto the Lord, you know, I'll tell you what, you talk about separating yourself from the world. I think more money is spent right now on pornography than all the money that's spent in the NBA, you know what, in basketball, pro football, pro baseball, and pro hockey, all together. More money is spent annual on the pornography industry. See, you start walking clean, I'm telling you what, you're going to separate yourself out so awesomely. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is so powerful. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. But look at verse 12. I want to show you something in verse 12. Paul says this, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. You know, sometimes we can just be reading, we just can read through the most incredible revelation, boom. That, if you don't have that underlined in your Bible, you ought to underline that in your Bible. Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he's saying, hey guys, he recognized you're restricted. Can I tell you this? This is one of the most freeing sermons you're ever going to hear. And I'm talking to you about you making decisions in your life that you're going to separate yourself from the world. And you think that Satan lies to you and says, yeah, now you're being restricted. Because if you're free, you're free to do whatever you want to do. Well, wait a minute, Jackson. There are these affections that you have that are restricting you. You are not restricted by us. Who's Paul? Paul is the apostle to this church who's telling them, hey, there's some things you got to do. He spent the first Corinthians, almost all First Corinthians, he's just telling them, Don't do this and do that. Stop doing this and start doing this. I need you to quit this and start doing this. That's pretty much the whole book. He's just bringing correction, bringing correction, bringing correction. And the thought is, we think, you know what, because Satan has lied to us and think, you know what, when you get, you know, you are free to get so drunk, you know what, that you can't even, you know, you wake up and you're, you know what, you're just like, oh my goodness, who is this, you know, who did I sleep with last night? And you think that that's freedom. That's not freedom, that's bondage. Sin will bind you. But you know what, you can get so you can get so bound in lust. And we think lust is just automatically, we go sexual lust. No, lust, you can lust for all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, you can lust for a cheeseburger, amen? You can lust for anything. But what Paul is saying is, no, you need to free yourself up. We're not your problem. We're not your problem. What is your problem? Your problem is you have these affections that are not godly. And that's going to restrict you. Remember the Bible says, protect your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Sometimes we really need to break down what the Bible's talking about. He's saying, you protect your heart, protect, what's he talking about? He's talking about these affections that you have, these wrong affections. Oh, we're preaching good today. These wrong affections, and listen to me, those wrong affections are going to hinder you from walking in the fullness that God's got you to walk in. So the Bible says, protect your heart or protect your affections, for out of it flow, there's this flow of the issues of life. You know what the issues of life mean? It means to how accomplished that of what you're going to get done. What are you really going to accomplish in your life? Because if you allow these ungodly affections into your life, what they'll do is they'll grip you and they'll bind you to where you are doing things, and you wake up in the morning, you say things the next day or the day before, and you think, man, why did I say that? Why did I do that? Why did I spend that? You know what? What is wrong with you? What is wrong with me? You know what I mean? Why did I eat that? Why did I go there? You know, why didn't I go there? What is my problem? Well, Paul's saying, let me tell you our problem. The problem isn't the preacher. It's just not. Paul, at one point, he says, you know what? Do I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Listen, church. Listen, Tamara and I love you. But don't turn me off when the Holy Spirit uses me to speak to you. Don't do that. You know, when you have a trainer, you know what I mean? And he's training you. And he's spotting you. And he's like, give me four more. You know what I mean? And you're like, one, two. You know, we've already done 30 of these. You know, he's saying, give me four more. And you do four more. And then he says, give me four more. You do four more. And he says, give me four more. Then it's not the time that you get up and say, you know what? You know, do your own four. I'm out of here. No. Do four more. Because you know what that trainer knows? That trainer knows, you know what? You have just coddled yourself for so long that, you know what? He is calling you up. Paul is calling the Corinthians up here. And Paul and God, knowing that we were going to read this scripture today, is calling us all up, saying, no, let me tell you what. You know what? The truth is not the problem. Remember the Bible says, my children die from a lack of knowledge. But you know the second part of that? It says, but then they reject the knowledge. See, let's not reject the knowledge, guys. God is not the problem. Stop thinking you are right and God's wrong. Could it be? I'm just asking, could it be that you are wrong and God is right? Could it be that very thing that you are kung fuing gripping, would you be honest and go and listen and you can just ask even God right now, God, help me. Help me to love what you love. Help me to hate what you hate. You think God won't be part of that prayer? Oh, I'll tell you what, he'd get all over that prayer. Amen. Are you learning something? Let's go down on this a little bit. Let's read down a little farther. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. See, he's recognizing, guys, I should be able to speak more freely to you than that. I'm tiptoeing through the tulip so bad that I can't really talk to you guys. You know what? So can you man up a little bit? Because we got to go somewhere. We got some things to do. Hey, church, we got lives to change. There's a whole new world. I sang that out of tune on purpose. That's what I used to do at Albertson. It's fun to sing out of tune sometimes. There's a whole new world. There's a whole life that God has for you that you'll never walk in if you won't relinquish, you know what, just carnal desires that you have. And are you old enough to recognize the wages of sin is death? Are you old enough to recognize that which tastes good for 30 seconds can taste awful for the next 6 months? Oh, hallelujah. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Be open. Do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? Now, we use that passage, and it's a great passage to use as you're teaching young adults. You know what, that they ought to only be dating someone that is crazy in love with Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're not dating somebody, if you're dating, first of all, let me teach you this. Ask God to lead you and ask God if it's your season. Because if it's not your season, just, you know what, you're just kicking against goads. You know what I mean? And you're going to be frustrated. Wait until God says, now, you know what, you can date. And that isn't an age. It's whatever the Holy Spirit says. Don't, what we talked about earlier, don't listen to them. Amen? They'll tell you, ooh, you know what, you're 38. You know, you're blowing it. You know what I mean? You better find. And you'll listen to them, and you'll grab anyone. Ooh, praise the Lord, I'm married. I'm 39 now, I'm married. I'm miserable, but at least I'm married. Yeah, I mean, that's so stupid. You know what? Does God know more than you? Or you know more than God? I'm just asking. Yeah, you know. Man, let God be true. You know, your life will be a lot better. So number one, wait. You know what? And tell the Holy Spirit says, wait. But then, if he says it's okay, then make sure, you know what? You're dating somebody who's not kind of in love with Jesus. Crazy in love with Jesus. Yeah, but there's hardly any of those out there. Well, all right, then trust me, you'll be smarter to wait. You can eat anything if you want. I mean, really. You know, I want to wait to eat something good. You ever been there? Yeah. You know what I mean? You're like so hungry. You eat like, you know what, you haven't eaten all day, and you're in the car and you're like, oh, praise the Lord. You know what, I got some, peanut butter M&Ms or something. You know what I mean? And you eat three bags of those. Then you get home and there's fresh made lasagna. Like, ugh. Amen. So this is appropriate in a dating setting. It's absolutely appropriate. But sometimes we limit it and just talk about this. And listen, this is way more than just dating passage. Do you understand that? Don't be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship is righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has the light with darkness? What are you doing? I remember one of my best friends in high school. You know what? And he was a Christian, and I was a Christian, and you know what? And he was just a really, really neat guy. But then sometimes, and this happens, somebody gets in their 20s, you know, early 20s, and they start to, fall away from Christ. And he started to fall away with Christ, but not like right away, but just kind of gradually. You know, how many know that's what Satan does? He says, you know what? We just read it. Oh, isn't it great to read your Bible every day? You just learn so much. We were just reading this, and the Bible said, "Don't take the grace in vain." You know, you think it's always going to be there, and you think it's okay. You start playing around with issues that you shouldn't play around with, and that's what he started doing. And he just would take a step, and it was like, "Oh, he's still a Christian. He still loves God, and we still had something to be relate to." And then he'd take another step, and you know what I mean? Well, he just kept on taking little steps. But how many know little steps over a long period of time, it can be a lot of space. Yeah. And so I would call him up and, you know, try to connect with him, call him up, try to connect with him, call him up, try to connect with him. But it seemed like every time I would call him, we'd have less and less and less and less in common. And pretty soon, we had nothing in common. Everything that he was doing, I wanted nothing to do with it. And the things that I was doing, he wanted nothing to do with. That's what it's talking about. So listen, Christians, one of the things that God placed on my heart, you know what, to remind people, don't be in love with the world or the things of this world. Don't admire that stuff. You know what I mean? Listen, I have no problem with people, entrepreneurs who are called. I believe there's so many people who are called to own businesses, and they'll have 100 employees or 1,000 employees. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't let people tell you that you are greedy because you have a calling on your life to do great things. Really, don't let them do that, because they'll do that. They'll say, oh, you're just greedy. Hey, love you. You're just stupid. Amen. No, really. Mind your own business. You know what I mean? You know, who made you the self-righteous one to judge everyone? Well, I'm not talking to that. But I am saying the Bible says be careful because if the love of money is the root of all evil, and by this love, you can start to have these desires to do things, and next thing you know, you are far away from God. Far away from God. Amen. No, let God be your desire. That's what he's saying. Don't be connected. Watch this. Verse 15. And what accord has Christ with Belial? Listen, they have nothing to do with each other. Or what part has a believer with the unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of a living God, as the Lord says. Now, I love God because he's so practical and he's so relational. He's so practical and he's so relational. So he goes from this very practical teaching, but then watch. Because you know what he understands? He understands everything is about your heart. Look what he goes. I will dwell with them. I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Because of this, therefore, verse 17, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Watch this, relational again. I will be the father of you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. Do you see the relational? Think what he's talking about? Guys, why in verse 16 does he say, look at it, 16 again. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As the Lord says, I will dwell with them and walk among them. See, why does he not want you to look at that which is unclean? As far as looking at lusting after someone that's not your wife. Why does he want you not to do that? Here's what he says. Here's the word he says. Because I'm inside you. One time, I was dating this girl in high school. And me and my friends used to go to Tommy's. We didn't have a Tommy's on Whittier Boulevard, you know what, and Durfee. The only Tommy's we had was in Los Angeles. I'm serious. We were Tommy's nuts, you know what I mean? It's amazing I'm not 400 pounds. But we would, no, really, but we would go to Tommy's all the time, you know what I mean? And we'd be like, we'd look at each other and we'd go, Tommy's run, you know what I mean? Boom, we were on it. So, you know what? I was dating this girl, and you know what? And it was, I don't know what it was, 9 o'clock or something around there. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go home. But before I went home, I thought, I'm going to go to Tommy's. So I went to Tommy's. And then on the way home, somebody say on the way home, you know what, I thought, well, no, I'm going to drop by her house. Yeah, I dropped by her house. So I remember driving up the street, you know what I mean? And I remember driving up the street and thinking, man, what? Huh? And she was smooching some other guy. While I was at Tommy's, she was smooching some other guy. And I remember just thinking, man, unbelievable. Do you feel my pain? Yeah. Hey, you know what? Yeah, I was in a little bit of pain. Yeah, but you know what? When I married Tamara, I was thinking, thank you, Jesus. I love you, sweetie. But here's the reality. You know what? That's what God is saying. Hey. What in the world are you? Why are you affectionate for that? I'm inside you. You think I don't see that? You don't think I feel the disloyalty? Do you see it in context? See, he says, you know what? As God said, verse 16, I will dwell in them. What's it in correlation with? It's in correlation of this affair that you're having with something that God says is unclean. And God says, in correlation, then he says, I'll dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. See, God wants us to be intimate with him and him alone. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We just read this a couple weeks ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This is so good. In verses 9 and 10, no, in verses, yeah, 9 and 10, he goes over a bunch of these sins. He's telling him, hey, knock it off. I don't want you, you know what? He says, don't you know that those who commit these sins are not going to even inherit the kingdom of God? And he lists all these sins. And then when he's done with these, then he says this, starting with verse 11, and such were, somebody say were. Come on, don't, hey, guys at home, don't think you're too cool cat to say were at home. No, say it right there. I like what Shayla said. Teach your kids, watch this, this side note, but this is a really important note. Teach your kids that you are in correlation, you are behind your pastors. Teach them that. Teach them you're in sync with your pastors. Teach them you're submissive to your pastors. Listen, submission is a wonderful thing to teach your kids. I don't know why my kids won't do anything I say. I don't know why you won't even say we're. Do you understand? Here's what the Bible says, that as you, that with the measure that you measure it out, that's what measure it's going to come back to you. I'm just saying, mamas, you're like, man, you're getting on us for, guys, I'm just trying to teach you. Could it be that there's a, please connect the dots. Because maybe, you know what, it would be good, maybe if you would just submit in these small areas, you know what, God would promote you in other areas. Okay, can we say we're? Good. For such, oh, not we're, were. Sorry. For such were, say were, some of you. See, that's how you were. You came out. Somebody say, come out. Come out from among them. I made you different inside. Now start acting different outside. Oh, that's good. I made you different inside. Now start walking and living and talking and speaking different outside. And such were some of you because you were washed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, I'm washed. Why? Washed with what? The blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Oh, my goodness. Jesus Christ went to the cross for this. If you're free, walk in the freedom which I called you to be free in. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Do you see the, you guys, do you think Paul's writing these things just because he wants to fill up the page? Come on, somebody who used to go to the fourth grade. You know what? Amen. At North Edwards. No, not at North Edwards. Where did I go to elementary school? They used to call it North Whittier. Now it's called Andrews. Anyway, my point is, I remember, you know what, having, they say, you know what, you got to fill up the sheet of paper right on, you know what, how your summer was. You know what I mean? So I'd write, you know what, my summer was very, 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 in big letters, very, 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 very good. Oh, I'm not done. I only have a little bit more. And hot. Period. Eternity. See, listen, Paul's not doing this. Look what he says. Look what he says. Look what he says. You know what? And you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of your God. Your God. Do you see the relationship? Guys, you're free from all this. Christ didn't kind of do it. Christ didn't kind of go to the cross. Christ totally went to the cross. So you can walk in this power. Somebody can go, oh, you know what, but always be bound to this lust. No, listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. I'm not saying that you don't have to do some tough things. You might have to do some tough things. You might need to, you know what, get rid of your smartphone and get a flip phone. Yeah, but you know, if I don't have the 2X, you know what, Y, Z, double X, you know what, new phone. You know, what will my friends think? What will my friends think if you got a flip phone? They'll think you're retro, and the next thing you know, they'll all have a flip phone. Amen? Amen. What I'm saying is, do whatever you have to do to get out. I love in Fireproof, or one on one of the movies. You know what? He sees something on the computer that he doesn't want to see. I love what he did. He picks up the computer, rips it out of the wall, picks it up, fireproof, throws it in the trash can. Does he smash it? He smashes it. He gets a bat and he smashes it. Well, why is he doing that? Guardrail. How many know, you know what, at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know what, he ain't going to go out and pull it out of the trash. Why? Because he smashed it. That's a guardrail. Remember, his neighbor looked at him like, you are crazy. Let me tell you what, that neighbor who looks at you are crazy, you know what, in 3 weeks might ask you, you know what, hey, I saw you, you know what, 3 weeks ago, you're smashing up that, what was that about? And for you to have a moment and say, you know what, I tell you what, I'm just so in love with Christ, and you know what, I made some bad choices, but I've been bound to this lust thing, and I just want to get free from it. You know what, and that moment was a moment in my life, and I knew I had to do that. You have no idea. You know what your neighbor is probably involved in? Pornography. I don't say that to be judgmental. I just say that to be, you know what? What am I thinking about? Like factual, but I'm just trying to be proportional. Because there's probably a good chance, if you just look at the numbers, they are bound. And you might be the person that's going to witness to them to get them free. Well, will you free yourself first? Because it's the blood of Jesus Christ that died for you to free you up from that. Listen, you think you can't get free? That's a lie from the pit of hell. And I don't care whether it's some kind of lust sexually or some kind of other thing that you just know is not the right affection that you should have. And God is calling you today to get out of that and be free and make a difference and start to have a contrast. How come Pastor George is getting all these people saved at his work? Because when he walks in, they see a contrast. They hear it. They know it. They feel it. They see it. This is so powerful. Watch this. I've quoted this so many times. So many times. I saw this. I was like almost jumped out of my shoes. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. Now that's the part that I quote and I know very well. But look at this second part. All things are lawful for me. He says it again. But listen to this. But I will not be brought under the power of any. Is that crazy? See, you think that you can play around with this stuff? Hey, people. Do you not know people who might have been on the praise team who now aren't even serving God? People who used to be the biggest shouters. Hallelujah, amen. You know, I love amen shouters. Amen. I love them. But somebody who was really involved, maybe they're involved in Sozo, maybe they were involved in some kind of adult ministry, sound ministry, maybe they're helping us out of the parking lot, they're totally involved in their church, but they started playing with affections that they should have stayed far away from, and it caught them. Do you see this? All things are lawful, but all things are not beneficial. But then he says it again. When he says it the second time, I never saw this. He says this, I will not be brought under the power of any. You know what that tells me? He can be brought under the power of someone else or something else. Do you see that? By the word of two or more witnesses, let everything be established. Look at Romans chapter 6. Guys, get that up there if you can. I forgot if I gave that. Oh, yeah, I gave that to you. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 16. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slave to obey, you are that one's slave to obey? Watch this. To whom you obey? Now watch this. Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. See? What is contrast? Contrast is being strikingly different than that which is around you. You know what I speak to you, moms? I say you don't have to act like all the other moms who kids are driving them nuts. Dads, you don't have to be angry and frustrated at your job. You don't have to be, men, you don't have to be bound into lust. Women, you don't have to be bound by your emotions. You know what I mean? Everyone, we don't have to be bound by every flash of spending money here and spending money there. No, the spirit that lives inside of you, you know what? The spirit of God isn't a spirit of fear, but a love, a joy, and you know what it is? Of self-control. See, that's what God has called us to. I share this a lot because it's my life. It's my testimony. We defeat Satan by the word of our testimony, the Bible says. And my testimony was I worked in the grocery store for 25 years. You know what I mean? Started when I was 4 and a half. But I worked in the grocery store for 25 years. And in the grocery store, I was different than everybody else. And I was different in a lot of ways, but one of the ways I was different was when I went into the grocery store, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Yeah. Yeah. They used to put me down to Quick Check. Quick Check was the worst place to go. It's like, you know what I mean? And I would pass by check stand 9 and check stand 8 and check stand 7 and check stand 6. And they'd go, Drew has Quick Check today. You know what I mean? And I'd say, I'm going down to Quick Check. Quick Check was the number one check stand. And I'd say, I'd look at all those checkers and I'd say, you know why? You know why they got me at Quick Check? You know what? Look at it. Look at it. There's these boxes and it had the numbers. I said, look at it. You know what? Because I'm number one. And I would walk by them. I was like, I'm number one. Of course, being sarcastic, because that was the worst. The joy of the Lord was my strength. And I'd come in there and I'd be joyful. And I wasn't trying to, I didn't have to work that up. I'm not, listen, I wasn't a phony. That was real. You know, you heard the testimony. Pastor Chandler's like, man, this guy's phony. Well, I was phony for a long time. Convinced her pretty soon I wasn't phony. Does that make sense? Because it wasn't phony. I was happy. Why am I happy? Why? Because today is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. If you're focusing on that which is good, you won't, listen, you want to get out of your depression? I'll get you. You don't have to take no pill. I'll get you out of your depression so quick. You do this. Start praising God for all the good things that are happening in your life. You will get out so quickly. Write them down. Write a list of 30 things that you have to be thankful for. And then every day and every night, you know what? When you wake up, read those 30 things. And every night, you read those 30 things. You'll add to the list, and pretty soon, you'll be like, I don't know, I'm so happy. Amen. I'm out of time, but I'm not out of message. But before we end, I want to say this to you. If you want to accept Jesus, some friend has invited you to be part of this. I want you to say this with me. Say it right out of your mouth. Say it that your dogs can hear you. Say, Jesus, come in my heart. Change me from the inside out. I don't want to live my life like I used to live. I want to be changed. Come in my heart. I want to be a Christian today. Thank you. In your name I pray, amen. Now, one more thing before we dismiss. If you got something going on, you know, you can have something going on. Nobody even knows you have it going on, but it's an affection in your affection in your heart that shouldn't be there. Or maybe everybody knows it's going on. You just think they don't know what's going on. Let me say that. That is so true. So many times you think, oh, I got everything hidden. You got nothing hidden. I want you to, maybe this word has been for you today. You pray this with me. Father, I repent. Say it. I want to only be in love with you. Help me to make good choices this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.